Father, I stand in need of you to manifest Jesus through me by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, I'm just an earthen vessel. I'm just dust. But Lord, I thank you that you put your Spirit into your children, God, and that's how you want us to minister. Your word says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. So I ask, Lord, that you'd make me an oracle of God, that you'd speak to hearts today, that you'd penetrate to the places that man can't reach, that intellect and speech can't reach. I pray that your word would do a mighty thing today, and I pray that people today would not only see your grace, hear your grace, but they'd feel your grace. They'd experience it, Lord God. So I pray for an anointing for every heart and every life in this place, Lord Jesus. As you build this church, Lord, build it your way. I'm just your vessel, Lord. I'm just taking your instruction in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of this message is Jesus' Feet. And those of you that think I preach long will be blessed today, because this will be one of my shorter messages. John 12, 1 through 8. Please stand for the reading of the scriptures. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Verse 7, but Jesus said, "Let her alone," or "leave her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have." Go ahead and have a seat. Before Lazarus died and was raised by Jesus, the Bible tells us that Mary loved Jesus. She often would sit at his feet and listen to him teach. It's a wonderful place to be, sitting at the feet of Jesus. But after what he did for her brother Lazarus, when he raised her dead brother from the grave, it says that she anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. She wasn't just sitting at his feet anymore. She was anointing his feet with extravagant, costly spikenard. Mary's love had grown from an intellectual love into an extravagant love. My first question for you today: does your love for Jesus sit and enjoy hearing his words? Do you like the finer teachings of the Bible? Do you like to listen to the really deep theologians or the spiritual preachers? There's nothing wrong with that. Do you love that? Do you love sitting there and learning about Jesus? Or has Jesus himself so captivated your heart that you must get up and pour out your love on him? Is your love extravagant, or is it merely intellectual? Extravagant love is not embarrassed to pour its love out on Jesus. Now, I think Mary was completely oblivious to everyone else in the room when she got up and poured the spikenard on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Luke 7, 36 to 50, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. This was a respectable Pharisee, and he was likely anticipating the honor of having Jesus in his house. Jesus was the great teacher. He was the big deal. There were crowds all around Jesus for his healing and for his teaching. They said no one ever spoke like this man. So it was a great honor to have Jesus, the rabbi, come into his house. And I imagine Simon the Pharisee, that his expectations for the lunch was that Jesus would say something profound, and then he'd reply with one of his own witty answers, and they'd have this conversation back and forth, and somehow the Pharisee would kind of feel like, hey, I'm pretty special here. I got to have Jesus come over and talk to me and speak to me, and I got to talk to him. I know that feeling because I've had it when I've been with other great preachers. I've been with other men of God. It's like, oh, if I could just sit down and listen to them talk for a little bit, and if I get to maybe get my little quip in there, and if he says, oh, that was good, then, whoa, I'll feel pretty important. So I can relate to Simon the Pharisee. But an uninvited guest was going to throw a wrench into all Simon's plans. Verse 37, behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. In other words, she was notorious to being a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them, or his feet, with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. The title of this message is Jesus' Feet. The woman steps into the room, she's behind Jesus, and she starts just weeping. And as she gets closer to Jesus, Jesus is reclined, and her tears are drenching Jesus' feet, wetting his feet. And she's probably embarrassed, and she gets down, and she's like, how do I dry this off? I don't have a towel. And she just starts using her hair to wipe the tears off of his feet, and the tears just keep coming, and so it's just this big, wet mess. And then she opens the alabaster box, and she pours it out on his feet. Scripture doesn't tell us who this woman was, except that she was notorious for being a sinner. The implication is that she was likely a prostitute or a woman of the night. And while Simon is trying to engage his guest Jesus in conversation about holy things that made him feel important, this woman was making a very uncomfortable scene. She is visibly weeping, so copiously covering Jesus' feet with tears and wiping them with her hair. She kisses them repeatedly and pours the oil on his feet. We don't know of this woman having any previous interactions with Jesus. The scripture doesn't tell us. But perhaps she had friends. Everybody's got friends. You know the old song, not that I'm promoting this, but I've got friends in low places. I think she had some friends in low places. She was a notorious sinner. She was friends with some other notorious sinners. And perhaps she was friends with that woman in John chapter 8 who was caught in the act of adultery. Remember her? She was caught in the very act. And you know the story. The Pharisees were setting up a trap for Jesus. They had planned this. And they said, Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Moses said that such women should be stoned, but what do you say? You know the story, and Jesus just stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when he finally stood up, he said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they all went away from the oldest to the youngest, dropping their stones. They knew they couldn't. They were all sinners. They knew they had no standing to condemn this woman. And Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, no one condemn. He said, does anyone condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Perhaps this woman who anointed Jesus' feet, who was so overcome with emotion and an extravagant outpouring of love, perhaps she had just talked to this woman and heard her story and heard her tell her, I was about to be executed, stoned by Jewish law, and this rabbi, Jesus, stepped in. And he showed me mercy. He saved my life. He changed my life. Perhaps that was the testimony that made this woman come with this hope-filled heart. Maybe I can be cleansed also. Maybe I can be washed from all my sins. And as she came to Jesus with this hope of mercy, the Spirit just flooded her with emotion. This is mercy incarnate, mercy in the flesh. She couldn't stop. She couldn't help but make a scene. She was pouring her love out on Jesus. Verse 39, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. Do you know we all do that? We speak to ourselves in our head. He said, if this man, if he were a prophet, if he were a holy man, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Everybody knew it. He thought, doesn't Jesus know this? He should have some discernment. This is what respectable, dead religious people do. They see the sins of others and judge them and try to keep them far away. Don't come into our meeting. Don't come into our lunch. Don't bring your filthiness in. They mistakenly think that they are so much better than the sinner. They also judge Christ for letting sinners get too close, for letting them touch him. This man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. Who do you think knew this woman better, Simon the Pharisee or Jesus the Christ? Who do you think knew her thoughts, knew her past, knew her before she was in her, when she was in her mother's womb? Who do you think knew her better? Of course, Jesus did. He knew every failure of this woman and every failure of Simon. And yet he let this woman, this unclean woman, touch him, weep over him, anoint his feet with oil. Verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You see, it was tradition in those days to provide water for the guest to wash his own feet. Not to wash his feet, but to provide water for him to wash his own feet. Simon didn't do that. Jesus is comparing and contrasting Simon and the woman. And he says in verse 45, you gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The woman was saved by her faith in Jesus, that he would show her mercy, not by earning his favor with her kissing, her washing, and her anointing his feet. But her lavish acts on Jesus showed her great love and desire for Jesus' mercy. Questions for you. Are you more like Simon, a respectable religious person who compares your goodness to others' sinfulness? While it's true that some people have sinned more against God than others, the closer you get to the perfect light of Jesus, the more you will see your small sins, as they really are, great sins. The more you'll see your pride, your gossip, your self-righteousness in the light of a holy Christ, and you'll never think of yourself as more holy than the prostitute, the drug addict, or the pimp. Perhaps you haven't lived the wicked street life of drugs and promiscuity, but even those raised and sheltered in religion need to be convicted and cleansed from the great sins of pride, self-righteousness, hard-heartedness to the hurting, indifference to sinners, and an emaciated love for Jesus. You know, when you look at people who are hurting and you say, I don't care, you don't love Jesus. You don't love Jesus. If you do, your love for Jesus is emaciated. It's stunted. And the Lord wants to renew your love. He wants to put fire into your love, not just so that you receive and give back his love to him, but so you give it out to others who are hurting. Jesus' love is a love that touches and cleanses sinners. His love lets them touch him and doesn't push them away. Simon wanted nothing more than get that woman out of his house. Get her out of my hair. I bet she made everyone there uncomfortable, even his disciples. John 13, 1 through 17. We talked about two women who anointed Jesus' feet, who poured out extravagant love on Jesus. Now we're going to talk about Jesus touching others' feet. John 13, 1 through 17. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour should come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I love that. He loved them to the end. Jesus knew they were all about to deny him. But his love didn't waver in their greatest failure. He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, verse 2, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was returning or going to God, Jesus knew the Father had given all authority into his hands and he was going back to his exalted position at the right hand of the throne of God. And look what he does. Verse 4, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Peter begins to protest against Jesus washing his feet. His respectability was rising up. It was very uncomfortable watching Jesus wash the other disciples' feet. And now it was too much to think of Jesus washing his own feet. Verse 7, Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Did you know that Jesus does things to you and in your life that you don't understand now, but he'll reveal them later? Peter said to him, verse 8, You shall never wash my feet. Why do you think Peter was having such a strong negative reaction to Jesus washing his feet? I mean, he had walked with Jesus for 3 years. This is the end of Jesus' ministry, right before his crucifixion. Why do you think he had this kind of, this almost violent kind of feeling of like, you can't wash my feet. Never. Why do you think? Pride, right? I'm strong. Washing Peter's feet required Peter being vulnerable with Jesus. Peter struggled with that deeply. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, listen, you have no part with me. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Jesus was not creating a clean foot club. He was saying to Peter, unless you become vulnerable with me and let me touch and let me wash your most humble parts, your feet, you can't share in my ministry to the hurting, Peter. Peter, there are going to be a lot of people with dirty feet that I need you to wash rather than judge. And it starts with your being humble and vulnerable with me. You want to be the man to do and help others, but Peter, you need to let me humble you. You need to be vulnerable with me and let me wash you. But Simon Peter said to him, verse 9, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said, he who's bathed or has taken a bath needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Peter could have also protested. You know, he's just being silly. Like, he's like, well, Jesus, not just my feet, then my hands too, my head. I mean, come on, Jesus. He also could have protested, Lord, my feet aren't even dirty. Like, I just washed them 10 minutes ago before we ate. Or, Lord, I'll wash my own feet. I'll take care of this myself. I don't want you touching my feet. I don't want you exposing me. I don't want to be vulnerable with you, Jesus. Jesus said in John 15 that they were all clean from the word that he spoke to them. So they were already clean. Jesus said, you're already clean, but your feet, you walk in this world, you pick up dirt, you pick up grime, you pick up dust. And your feet need to be washed. You need to be vulnerable with me. Jesus was not concerned about the physical dirt that was on their feet, but the spiritual dirt they picked up walking in the sinful world. Judas was the only one who didn't let that word cleanse his heart by faith. The other ones, they heard his word, they received it by faith, they were washed by it. Verse 11, John 13, 11, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you're not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than him who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus did not say, blessed are you if you teach them. He said, blessed are you if you do them. I think that we're mistaken when we think that foot washing was common in Jesus' day or even in the Old Testament period. It was common, as I said before, that a host would provide water for the guests to wash their own feet before sitting down to eat. But look in the Old Testament. There is no example of someone washing another person's feet. There's examples of them providing water for them to wash their own feet or the servants to wash their own feet. But there's no example of it being done. The only implication is in 1 Samuel 25, when Abigail, after her husband Nabal, the fool, died, was struck dead, and David sent for her to take her for his own wife, she was so humbled, she said, let me be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. What was she saying? She's saying that the servant that washes the feet is the lowest servant. Not the servant who's been doing it for 10, 15 years, who's been promoted into higher responsibility. No, it's the very lowest, basest servant that washes feet. I believe that Jesus washing his disciples' feet was the first time any of his disciples ever had their feet washed by someone else. After all, the disciples were working-class men. None of them had servants. Maybe there was people that were wealthy in those days that had a lot of money, and they were kind of proud, and they're like, you know what, servant, you need to wash my feet. I'm not washing my own feet. It's time for supper. I just came back from the market. You wash my feet. But in the common life of the regular living-class, working-class people, they were washing their own feet. They weren't washing other people's feet. It was only the lowest servants of the wealthy that would wash feet. But Jesus stooped to the lowest servant's place. Think about this. The absolute lowest place of service in society that they would understand. He took that place for his disciples. Not only to show them to serve each other, but to challenge them to be vulnerable. To challenge them to put away their pride. And to challenge them to look at other people and to not be staring at their dirtiness, but say, how can I help wash you? Jesus said, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I believe there's a powerful spiritual analogy to Jesus' command to wash each other's feet. But when you see the dirt on your brother or sister's feet, don't stand there as a judge. Stoop as a servant. Get a towel. Wash them with love. Cover their sins. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love his disciples to the end? He washed their feet. That you also love one another. 1 Peter 4, 8. Above all, keep fervent love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Think of the dirt on the people on each other's feet. Look, there's dirt on you guys. There's dirt on me. But it says love covers a multitude of sins. Be fervent in your love. Don't have an emaciated love. Don't have an emaciated love like Simon the Pharisee. Just all he saw was her faults. But Jesus saw her as a trophy of grace to be shown mercy, to be washed. She was washing his feet. He washed her when he said, your sins are forgiven because of your faith. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Say, it's hatred in you, friend. It's hatred in you that wants to point out the other people's faults. Do you hear that? It's hatred. It's not just, well, you know, I'm a little bit critical sometimes. It's hatred. It stirs up strife. It says, you got these problems. You got these problems. But love covers sins, covers a multitude of sins. How beautiful is that? There's three things that cleanse sin. The blood of the Lamb washes away our sins and enables us to stand before God clean. The Word of God, he said, I've spoken my word to you and you're clean through my word. But love also cleanses sins. Glory to God. Did you know that you can cleanse your brother and your sister by loving them? Not exaggerating their faults, but saying, I love you. I'm going to cover your faults. I'm going to wash your faults. I'm going to cast them away and not make you pay for them. Praise God. Praise the Lamb. Matthew 25:40 says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Did you know that when you serve the least of these, the person you think is insignificant in your natural mind, Jesus said, you're actually serving me. You're serving me. When you serve the lowest person, you're serving me. I believe when we serve anybody in the name of Jesus Christ, we are serving Christ, whether they're great or small, but especially powerful when it's someone the world despises. I believe, as much as I believe in the spiritual analogy of washing each other's feet, by seeing that when you see the faults of others, that you cover them with love, that you wash them with love. As much as I believe in the power of that analogy, and that will be how we carry it out in most of our lives, I believe that we over-spiritualize it when we think that the actual doing of it is not what he meant. Before I went to Africa with Souls for Jesus in 2019, I was sitting in a beautiful conference hall at the Souls for Jesus luncheon, which is a fundraiser to raise money to send shoes over to Africa, to multiple countries in Africa. And I remember watching this. One of the things they do is once a year they would take a group of Christians from different churches, and those people would volunteer to go on a missions trip. Sometimes it'd be to Botswana, Swaziland, Kenya, all different, many different countries. And I was watching the video because when they'd send the shoes over to Africa, before they would give the villagers, who are very poor, some of them never owned a pair of shoes in their life, before they'd give the villagers the shoes, they would give a short gospel message, like 10 or 15 minutes. And then they would bring the people in. We'd have these little stations set up, like 8 or 10 stations. Some people would be back in the back with the shoes, the bags of shoes, getting the right sizes ready. And then the other volunteers would be in the front. And we'd have a big bin of water, and we'd be washing their feet and drying their feet before we sized them for shoes. This was very powerful. And when I saw this before I went, Holy Spirit said to me, you need to go to Africa. You need to wash feet. I said, Lord, I know. It's true. So I went, and it was very powerful. It was very humbling for me. And you know what? Those African people, I believe it was the touch of Jesus touching their feet. I remember the first woman I washed her feet, the bin is like this big, full of water and soap and a little rag. And I washed her feet, and the Holy Spirit touched me, and I just washed her feet gently and dried her feet. That whole bin went from clear water to brown water, one person. And then we washed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people's feet and gave them shoes. I was given the opportunity to preach the gospel several times, but Jesus was doing a more important humbling work in my heart than me preaching. You say, well, Aaron, that's a warm culture. This is a cold culture. I say, Jesus told me to wash your feet. And I wrestled with him. And I said, Lord, is this just Aaron Skiro being tired? You're really telling me to wash their feet? I said, you got to confirm this, Lord, because I don't want to be a fool. And the devil said, you wash their feet and that church is going to just empty. Nobody's going to stay. You're ruining the church. Guess what I'm going to do, friends? I'm going to obey Jesus. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. The Lord has put on my heart to wash the feet of those in Oksana Church who consider me your pastor. Most of our spiritual learning in the West is by teaching and hearing, like what we're doing right now. But there is a different kind of learning. There is an example type of learning. Washing feet is a different kind of learning. It's a spiritual example. Listen, it will humble the washer and the washed. You won't understand it right away, but you will afterwards. I want to wash your feet and tell you my goal is to be your servant. I'm not telling you I've arrived. I'm not telling you that I always will see dirt on you and wash it instead of point it out. I'm just a man. I'm a fallen man, but I have a perfect risen Savior that lives in me. And I want to strive to live according to his Spirit. And I want to serve you. My aim is to wash the dirt off your feet in love. My purpose is not to expose your faults, but to cover them. This will be very uncomfortable for most of you. It was for Peter and the disciples. Peter said, never! You're not washing my feet. Jesus said, I invite you to humility and vulnerability because I'm taking you in a place that you can't go, Peter, otherwise. You understand that? If you won't be vulnerable and humble with God, you limit your usefulness. You just limit it. You say, God, there's a wall. And Jesus will say, you have no part in this ministry. I can't take you further, but I want to. I believe the Lord is leading this, and I want to obey. Trust me, I wrestled with it. I told my wife, she wrestled with it. The Lord put on my heart and confirmed that he wants me to wash your feet and pray for you. I want to pray for you. This will be harder for some of you than it is for me. But I ask you, will you be vulnerable and humble yourself and have a part in this ministry at Oksana Church to hurting people? God's going to bring more in, friends. God's going to bring people in, and you're going to smell, see the stench, and see the dirt. But what heart are you going to walk in? Is it going to be the heart of Jesus that doesn't just have all the doctrines down and the doctrines right and the Bible knowledge down? Will it be the heart of Jesus that says, how can I serve you? How can I wash you? How can I stoop and help you? This is completely voluntary, and I won't judge you if you don't want me to wash your feet, if you have a medical condition or whatever. But I encourage you, work this out with God. Wrestle this out with God. If you're a woman, you say, I don't feel comfortable with a male touching my feet, my wife will wash your feet. I don't have a problem washing a woman's feet. I washed hundreds of women's feet in Africa. But if you feel you'd rather have my wife wash your feet, she'll wash your feet. But I originally thought we'd do this in here. And I said, Lord, you know the last thing I want, I was praying here last night, the last thing I want is to do a show. I was going to say, turn off the camera and we'll do it here. I don't want to do that. The Holy Spirit put on my heart, we're going to do it privately here in this room. It's under construction, so bear with us. We'll bring you in there one or two at a time. I want to pray over you. I want to wash your feet, dry your feet, you put your socks and shoes back on, and I want the Holy Spirit to touch you today. This is what he put on my heart. This is not just for you, it's for me too. It's for me too to learn servant leadership. But it's for you. I want Jesus to touch you today. Oh, my computer's frozen. Maybe that's it. Oh, that's the end. So, I want to invite you, if you will let me wash your feet, I want you to come up toward the front of the church. You can sit in these front three rows. You can come up here and pray and prepare your heart for that. But I'm going to bring you in just one by one with my wife, and we're going to wash your feet. And I thank you for trusting me to do this. And if you feel no, I'm out, that's a hard no for me, a hard pass, I'm not judging you. But I want you to wrestle with God a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because Peter was saying a hard no right away. Peter said, no way, God. Jesus, never, never. You're not washing my feet. Peter would not have gone on to preach powerfully at Pentecost if he wasn't willing to be vulnerable with Christ. And you say, well, Aaron, what about your feet? Well, you know, I'll let you wash my feet, but how many times are we going to do that today? I trim my toenails in case any of you challenge me. You know. But I want you, this is just church, guys. I think we've lost this in America. I'm not saying we're going to do this on a regular basis. I don't know. I just know that the Lord put this on my heart to do today. And if you're children and you want your feet washed, I'll wash the children's feet too. So let's just pray. And you guys, I want you to be up here praying as we're in there. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit, Jesus, is going to be ministering to people while we're praying for them. That's what I'm asking you for. Pray for me. Pray that I'd know how to pray for people. Pray that we'd know how to bless people and wash their feet. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, God. Lord, you're so out of the box. You're so outside of what I would think, God, and what I would do. And Lord, I'm just asking you to touch through your Spirit. Lord, through this act, you said, blessed are you if you do this, if you do it. Lord, we got all our excuses. We're Americans. Our feet are already clean. We don't need it, but God, we probably need it more than the Africans needed it. So God, I just pray that you do a spiritual work in us, a deep work in us, and you would make us vulnerable, God. Work in us, Lord Jesus, so that you can work through us to other people who are broken. In Jesus' name, amen. Chris, if you want to just play some worship. I mean, I want to wash your feet too. Where are you, man? You're in the back? I want to wash your feet. We're going to have a rotation, so it would be nice. Aiden, you could play too you could play instrumental. And I also want whoever's in the nursery, I'd like to wash their feet too. So let's do this thing. Amen? Let's do it. All right.